The bag is packed with the sticks, the drinks are cold, and the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
He would wear the swag so well.
Would he look good in the swag?
Yeah.
He's a handsome man. Of course he would look good in the swag.
Intimidation factor.
But I don't want Billy Horschel anywhere near
the
captaincy of my team.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
It's kind of like their Jordan Spieth experience.
You kind of get that type of ball speed, and every once in a while it gets a little squirrely.
Broadcasting live from the Bog Golf Course, alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
Oh, and we are excited to be here live from the Bog. Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson enjoyed a perfect day out at the Bog on what we just found out is Arnold Palmer's birthday. And Arnold Palmer, of course, the architect of this fine course just north of Milwaukee. And to help us talk about the Bog, somebody we played nine holes with today, somebody who's very familiar with this property, head golf professional here at the Bog, Andy Runkel. Andy, thanks for jumping on, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. It was truly a treat to watch you guys pound it out there today. I was first guy hitting from the fairway most of today. So,
well, I mean, pounded, maybe Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe for sure. Gabe hits a long way.
Well, so Andy, how long have you been here at the Bog?
This is my 28th year out here. Since 2014, I've been the head professional, along with Chris Van Peterson. We're co-head professionals. So,
all right, give the elevator pitch for the Bog. What makes this place special?
Number one daily fee club in southeastern Wisconsin by far. I mean, Kohler up the road is resort. Erin Hills is absolutely awesome as well. But if you're looking for an elite daily fee course, great practice range, 18 holes championship golf, the Bog is for you, no doubt.
Well, I mean, I won't argue that the practice facilities here, I think, are very underrated. The range that you guys have, little practice, short game area there. I mean, I think the practice, especially if you're looking to, you know, be a member somewhere of a daily fee golf course, I mean, it's hard to beat what you guys have in terms of a practice facility.
Yeah, we got the six target greens. We got the huge grass tee out there. The short game area is great. The putting green is cut every morning. It's the same as the 18 holes on the golf course. So consistency across there. I always say to younger kids, high school kids, college kids that practice out here, if you can't get better out there, I don't know if you got it inside you. So you got to get out there and get after it.
Well,
for sure.
If you get out on the golf course, you're grinding because it's not an easy golf course. You can lose a lot of golf balls, I think Gabe and I both experienced firsthand today. I mean, just the test that this place presents for most golfers, what do you think of that?
We're fair. We get five sets of tees. We encourage people to actually play up if you can. Pace of play, 4 hours and 20 minutes. But if you want to challenge yourself, the gold tee is 6,700 yards. You go all the way back, 7,200 yards. You got to hit it straight. You got to make a lot of putts. It's, you know, as we were talking.
You got to make a lot of putts. I mean, who's making a lot of putts out here?
Yeah. Well, Steve and I were talking today about how there's some subtle little breaks in there, and you just don't see them right away. And next thing you know, your ball's veering to the right, veering to the left, and you're not even sniffing the hole.
So. Yeah. I mean, the greens are impeccable out here. The grass really throughout the entire course was, you know, my big takeaway from playing out here. I've been out here for so many events. Gabe and I play here 100 holes for the Mac Fund in April when sometimes it might be snowing on us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of different golf outings. We were here earlier for the ESPN Milwaukee golf outing. It was fun to just play 18 holes out here and get to really test ourselves out here on the golf course. And those greens are in impeccable shape.
Yeah, Tony, our superintendent, does a great job. He's had a great season, been able to work on him every Monday morning, top dressing, doing some of the things he needs to do. And I think just consistently cutting them every morning, it's definitely a recipe for having some great greens. There's no doubt about that.
Andy Runkel, head golf professional here at the Bog, joining us on the tee, 94.5 ESPN. So you mentioned now 28 years here. What has kept you here at the Bog? Because that's a long time to be anywhere, whatever profession you're talking about.
Yeah, I play some events in the state and talk to other pros, and they find out I'm there that long, and it's kind of amazing to them. But we've had two owners the whole time. The Hammes group is here now. They're unbelievable to work for. Mike Hammes, who played with us today, his dad John, they're unbelievably great owners. Terry Wakefield, who was our previous owner, those guys have always had a great vision to be the number one place in the southeastern Wisconsin. And it's easy to jump on board when people want to support, you know, the vision, or they have a universal vision for what's going on. And we want to have a great golf course, provide a great test of golf for people, keep the prices fair. We've got a good overall facility, and we kind of like the direction we're going with everything. So
you bring up Mike. Do you teach the way he putts? Because
I've never seen anything like that.
I've never seen anything like it.
And my back still hurts.
If you've never played with Mike Hammes, who's the owner out here, imagine Michelle Wee West and the way she used to putt. You know, she would bend at the waist, and her back is almost parallel with the ground, combined with the Happy Gilmore, but it's a claw on the bottom. It's not like the full, like, Happy Gilmore, like, hockey stick. And he's putting with the claw on the bottom, but the hands are that far separated. So that's the visual you need on how Mike putts. Is that how you teach out here at the
No. I actually get to coach Mike's dad every once in a while, and his son, Bo, is a nice young junior up-and-comer. I've been able to work with him last summer and this summer and kind of put my mark on that. Mike's original, he cuts the ball from that very nice upright position, and then he bends completely over 90 degrees from the hips to roll putts. I got to tell you guys, the first time I ever saw it, I'm like, what the heck is all this? But the guy makes putts.
Yeah, he had a couple of really nice lag putts on the front nine today.
My first question to him is, who's his yoga instructor?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's a fit guy, so you can get away with that. I couldn't bend over like that and do that, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was inspiring to watch. I mean, it truly is Happy Gilmore without a hockey stick as your putter. I mean, he is fully
tilted
over.
But it's a claw on the bottom. Like, if you've seen people do the claw grip, that's how he puts these.
Is it legal? I don't even know.
I think it has to be.
Well, he's played in some pro-am with me. No one's ever said a word to him, so I'm sure it's fine.
I was too nervous to ask him on the course, being the owner here. We're on to you, Mike.
There you go. So,
what's your favorite hole out here?
Boy, I tell you, number 12, you can't beat that. A lot of people don't like it. They say, it's this, that. But you got to hit two really good shots. And then you got a green that's still challenging on a lot of levels. I like the par threes out here. I think they're really solid. No doubt about that. I always tell people they come out here, you know, the front nine's challenging on its own. But I tell people, once you get to 14, you got to belt yourself in because the last five holes are pretty solid. It's a really solid test. It's a great way to come in, and, you know, a lot of things can change up and down. You can hit a couple bad shots, 17, 18's no picnic, but you got to bring it coming in if you're going to finish off your round the way you want to.
Yeah, there's not a lot of room for error off the fairways out here. I mean, there's opportunity. I wasn't kidding to lose a lot of golf balls on this course. But one thing I love about the bog is I use every club in my bag.
Yeah.
And you don't say that about many golf courses.
Definitely. The par three's got a good variety of that. Par fours, there's a couple you lay up off the tee, a couple you got to hit, you know, you can hit driver or three wood, and then the par fives. They're scoreable if you hit a good drive, but you got the second shot on a lot of these par fives is challenging. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think of just nine. I mean, nine, you know, you bomb one down there, and then you're looking at this. The green's not that big of a target when you're trying to hit, you know, a longer iron into it, and it kind of runs away from you. It's a really good par five.
Yeah, I got greedy on that shot.
Yeah. Well, we were watching Steven today. He hit a shot down there, and it would have one more yard. That would have been that would have been money, absolute money. But that 1 yard, next thing you know, you still almost chipped it in for four, though.
Yeah.
That was a good way to finish that front nine. So.
Well, it wasn't as good as your four on that.
Yeah. Once in a while, you hit a couple good ones. There's no doubt about that.
So. Talking with Andy Runkle, head golf professional here at The Bog. Again, check them out if you want to come play your next round here, golfthebog.com. We're going to be talking about this a little bit later in the show, but I'm going to eliminate The Bog because, you know, you know a lot about it. But if you had to pick your perfect 36-hole day in the state of Wisconsin, and you can only use a course one time. So two different courses, 36 holes. What are you picking?
Believe it or not, there's so many great properties at Kohler, but my favorite golf course at Kohler is the Irish course. Absolutely love it. Just absolutely, first time I played it, I fell in love with it. It's one of my favorites in the state by far. The other three are spectacular. The Bass is awesome. Not to be pumping Kohler too much, but they've been a great partner. With, you know, they send us some stuff, and we love to have some of those folks come down here. And my other favorite in the state by far is Monaco Country Club. I don't know if you all have played it.
I have not. I've heard
it's been the talk of Wisconsin golf the last few weeks.
Well, not only because of the state open, but it is. There's another golf course. I always tell folks that you hit every club in the bag, bar none. It's a great golf course. One of my favorites by far.
That'd be a long 36 holes, though, to get to the Irish.
Two-dayer.
Yeah, two-dayer.
That's all right. Well, Andy, thank you so much for having us out here. Thank you so much for stopping by and filling in everybody on a lot of the great things that you guys have here at the Bog. Again, this is, we're sitting in the dining area. This is a great facility. I like the little patio out here. And then, of course, it's hard to beat the barn just past 18.
Yeah, it's been great. The barn's been a great addition. The Hammes family has opened up another one down in Illinois, so they're doing some great things on the F&B side, the hospitality side, wedding side, along with what we got going on here with the golf course. And, you know, we're always looking at some things, changes for next year. Might be adding some tee boxes and cleaning a couple things up. Mike's been really great about pulling some of the brush out over the winter times and seeing some, give these holes a little more character. You can see and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's been a nice run here for me, and I'm really happy to be part of it.
I'm always blown away how hands-on Mike is as an owner. You don't see many owners that are, you know, getting their hands dirty on golf courses the way that Mike is.
Yeah, a lot of times I'm looking for him during the day to talk to him about a few things, and it's a matter of just texting him because he'll come rolling in on his the Black Knight, his cart, and he'll be out there pulling some brush or doing some stuff. And he takes a lot of pride in what he's doing out here, and like I said, Mike and I share the same vision. We want to provide a great, exceptional golf facility for everybody that comes out here, and I think we've done a pretty good job.
He tells you he's out there pulling weeds. He's doing yoga on those fairways. I know. He's working on that flexibility.
Yeah, there you go. So,
Andy, thank you so much, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it. It was so much fun to play with you guys. We'd love to have you out here again sometime. Hopefully we can do that.
We'll see you for 100 holes in the Mac Fund.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great day. Mike Bilo's great, and the Mac Fund's awesome, too.
So. Yeah, and thank you guys, you know, to you and the Hammes family for your continued support of that incredible cause. It's amazing the amount of money that everybody's able to raise for that Mac Fund 100 holes.
Yep, it's a great day. So, all right.
Andy Runkle, he's the head golf professional here at the Bog. We have plenty of things to get into, including, as we just mentioned, your best 36 holes. Plus, it was announced last Wednesday, the match between Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler taking on Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. Our thoughts on that, all of that, coming up on the tee.
You're listening to On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
On the Tee, it's presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips and WisconsinGolfTrips.com. Main business, booking groups from around the world playing all the great courses in our state. Maybe that includes the Bog, because again, the Bog, really conveniently located, like between Milwaukee and Kohler. Pretty great spot. If you're coming to Wisconsin, you're going to be, chances are, driving past it, and a lot of people want to stop and play it. But Wisconsin Golf Trips will also book outbound trips for people here. Places like Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada. They're booking our trip to Scotland coming up soon. They can do Scotland. They can do Ireland. It's your one-stop shop for your next golf getaway. Handling all the tee times, lodging, and other logistics, plus transportation, even dinner reservations. They try to make the entire process easy and stress-free. Jason knows what he's doing over at Wisconsin Golf Trips, so make your golf trips a hole-in-one with Wisconsin Golf Trips. Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson, hanging out at the Bog where we got to play earlier today, but I want to dive into this match. It was announced last Wednesday. It always seems, no matter when, if our show's on a Monday, if our show's on a Tuesday, you can bet some of the biggest news that's going to break is going to be the day after whenever our show is throughout the history of this program. So last Wednesday, Golf Week, Amon Lynch ended up breaking the news of a PGA Tour versus LIV match that's going to be happening. It's unclear if it's going to be a part of the match series. It's going to be on TNT. We know that. It's going to be in Vegas. It's going to be in December. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy taking on Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. Your initial thoughts when you heard this, Stephen?
It's about time, Gabe Neitzel. Gosh, I mean, how long have we been waiting to see these tours come together? And they're not officially coming together, but we finally have some people in the golf world making some sense for us. It's the match has had its ups and downs throughout the years, and some better than others, but I'll tell you what, this is the one I have been most excited about since probably the Tiger and Phil one that it started with. So this is going to be the 10th edition of the match. TNT has confirmed it's going to be in December. We just don't know where in Vegas it's going to be played.
Well, in What I'm excited about this, too, is a lot of times with the match, it just goes too long because they're trying to jam all these commercials in. The guys are waiting on the tee, and we're, you know, so we're waiting, and it ends up taking way too long. It seems like this is going to be taped, edited, and then put on television.
Oh, okay. That's news to me. That you, get it right is, I think, the most important thing for me as a viewer at this point. The other things that I read is that it's going to be kind of a Ryder Cup format as well. You might see some alt shot.
Okay.
You might see, you know, some singles holes as a way to, like, kind of like a mini Ryder Cup in however many holes they end up playing. But, you know, it's amazing for how dramatic the professional men's game has been over the last couple of years. Good on these guys to, you know, just figure out a way to deliver for the fans, because we have been the ones who have been losing during this entire splinter in the game.
Also, listening to everything that I have around this, it seems like the PGA Tour didn't necessarily give, because the way this all works, and I think this is part of what made Phil upset in the first place during the original iteration of the match, him versus Tiger, where they had to pay the PGA Tour to get their rights in order to do this, because it's a non-sanctioned PGA Tour event, and any tour player has had to do that since. It seems like Rory and Scotty basically just said, hey, we're doing this. Go ahead and fine us. Do whatever you want, PGA Tour. Like, basically daring them. Yeah, go ahead and punish us for doing something around the game. Which is what I love from Rory. He's putting his money where his mouth is to make this happen. He has been one of the loudest voices in golf about wanting these two tours to come together and have everybody back together for the best thing for the health of golf. So he's doing what he can do. And if this number pops a big number, if this match ends up popping a big number, then I think they're going to have some pretty good leverage to try to get this thing done.
If this one doesn't pop a big number, then I'm worried about the future of any sort of men's professional golf. You're talking about four of the biggest faces. Bryson has completely changed his character arc in the last calendar year, and Brooks Koepka is a competitor. And most golf fans just want to watch good golf at this point and not have it be so much of LIV versus PGA Tour. You have four of the, arguably, the top eight golfers in the world that are going to be squaring off in this rendition of the match. And, you know, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see the competitiveness come out, because there is going to be underlying competitiveness of representing your tour, regardless of them playing, not, you know, not being sanctioned by the PGA Tour or LIV. Like, there's ego involved in this, in which tour is better and who ultimately has better players.
You have the best player of this generation, the second best player in this generation, as, you know, if we're talking about majors, right? Which at the end of the day is the most important thing.
Yeah.
The best player in the world right now is Scottie Scheffler. And then Bryson, who is, as you mentioned, like, has turned himself into a positive character with all the YouTube stuff that he's done. He's really, you know, kind of more embraced a lot of that stuff. And he is one of the more marketable, he's one of the more people that's out there in terms of being a forward-facing personality in golf. So as you mentioned,
his whole breaking 50 thing has been fun. He's had some incredible guests.
Yeah, some really good guests. It's been a lot of fun. And again, all his YouTube stuff, whether it was him playing with hickory sticks, him playing with an old golf ball from 2008, he's done so many great things on that YouTube channel. And with the news today coming out that tomorrow, meetings going on between guys from the PGA Tour like Tiger Woods and that whole thing with the Saudi Investment Fund, with the PIF, I don't think these are all coincidental things.
Yeah,
like these talks need to happen, because the longer they wait, the more they're potentially losing.
And I think this is also to Rory and Scotty's credit. They're putting the pressure on the tour and saying, this is a player-led organization, and we have the power. And we're starting to see that in a lot of other sports.
Mm-hmm.
But golf, they tried to be the good soldiers for a long time, and Monahan and company went behind their backs and announced something they weren't prepared for and embarrassed them publicly. So good on them for going out there and doing this on their own and agreeing to it with Brooks and Bryson. I think this is a win for golf fans, and I haven't said that sentence enough for where we stand right now and how exciting golf has been outside of the professional men's game and the boom we've seen.
What's the last win we had as golf fans?
Probably Rory Bryson at Pinehurst. That was a win.
Sure, but that wasn't, I mean, it was a win because we're fans of golf. It wasn't the game of golf going, hey, what can we do for our fans, right? But throughout this entire process, throughout the entire process of LIV, the PGA Tour, separating, one upsmanship, all that, I think this is the first time since these two tours since the players went to the LIV and it all separated, that somebody actively did something for the golf fans. I don't think LIV has done a single damn thing for the golf fans.
Yeah. You could argue the idea, concept of TGL was, we still haven't seen it.
Sure.
The idea of it was a potential win for the fans, but it's hard without seeing anything yet.
And the only win there, if you're a golf fan, is more Tiger, right?
Yeah.
That's the win? Because, I don't know what it is. Maybe it is a win for golf fans, but it's hard to say that it is. Because, again, like all those guys for LIV, they weren't like, oh, we want to do better for the fans, so we're going to go to LIV. No, you did that because you wanted to do better for yourself. The PGA Tour decided to up all this money and make everything about money, and even though they try to be about legacy. And you did that for yourselves. You didn't do that for me, the golf fan. This is the first time that something has actually positively happened for the golf fan, which is why no matter when this happens in mid-December, whether it's live, whether it's not, I'm going to be glued to my television.
Yeah.
I do not want to miss this because it is the first time in 3 years that somebody went, hey, let's do something for the golf fan.
I'm with you. The last thing I can think about was pre-LIV was the Ryder Cup here in Wisconsin. Was the last time where I was like, you know what? I'm jacked up about where this game is at.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters all coming together. And at that time, it was, ironically, Bryson and Brooks who were trying to rip that away from us, right?
Well,
and now they're teammates.
They weren't trying to rip it away from us. That was still a win for us.
Yeah.
You're telling me that eye roll from Brooks wasn't a win for golf fans? It certainly was a win.
Fair enough.
For golf fans.
You're listening to On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
And it has to be within reasonable driving distance, right? You don't want to, play, something in.
You got to get 36 holes
in. Yeah, you got to get 36 holes in. So,
and we're doing public-private, which is an important caveat to this, are we? Or would you rather go public-public?
Well, so I've kind of gone back and forth. I think we can have different categories because the private-private isn't always feasible. Like, you got to get the invite unless you're a member. And the one that everybody wants probably in this area, Milwaukee Country Club.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know someone who knows someone who knows someone to get you out there. So I think that's tough to pull off. So I think there should be at least a realistic viability of being able to pull it off. Like, if you're a member at Wisconsin Country Club and you want to pull off the MCC Blue Mound doubleheader, yeah, if you're a member at Milwaukee, I'm guessing you know someone at Blue Mound that's going to be able to get you out and play the 36. I'm not a member at either one of those courses, Stephen. I don't know how I'm pulling that one off.
No, you just got to know the right people.
Exactly. So I think there has to be a realistic viability to
it. Well, here's my next question. Some of the greens fees here in the great state of Wisconsin for our public golf courses are not
cheap. They're high. Money's not an object.
We're talking Monopoly money for this segment.
Yep.
Okay.
You got whatever you want to spend for those 36 holes.
Okay.
You didn't win the big lottery, but, you got a nice little scratch off, grand, 2 grand in your pocket, so now you're going to spend it on 36 holes of golf.
Okay. Man, what if you tee off at 4:30 in the morning?
Okay, look, I understand it's possible to play 10 golf courses in 2 days, Stephen. I understand it's possible to play 5 courses in 1 day because you did it last year.
Yes.
But
okay.
No, we're sticking to 36.
All right.
Because that's the most realistic.
If we are going public-public,
yep.
It's hard for me not to go, this is I'm stuck between two.
Okay. Is it Aaron in Washington?
No.
Okay. I thought Aaron Hills would be on the list for you.
Yeah, I would just do 36 at Aaron. That'd be my might be my
play 18 at Aaron and then do the kettle loop.
I think that recency of Lido Sedge was really special.
Okay.
And I think that because you get such a unique 36 between those two courses,
mm-hmm.
they're so different. Despite being across the street from one another. And that's what I love about it. I mean, you could say Sand Valley or Mammoth and have a great answer there as well. But
sure.
To play Lido, and then, which is just a recreation of a historic golf course in Long Island, and, talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the tee on Wisconsin On Demand, just about the opportunity to play where it's truly unlike any golf experience I've had in Wisconsin. and the recreation of it. It's the closest I feel like I'm going to get to playing the old course when we go in a couple of weeks to Scotland. Just flat pot bunkers.
Honestly, I can't wait for you to play golf over there. Gosh. I'm so excited for you. Like I'm so excited that because you've gone on so many of these great golf trips.
Yeah.
I'm excited I get to do this one with you to see your face on some of these different unique great golf courses.
I have two things at the top of my bucket list in golf. And for most people, it's probably their 1-2 as well. Go to the Masters.
Yep.
Play St. Andrews. And knock on wood, I hope we get that chance in a couple of weeks. And regardless, just to play any of the courses we're going to have on our itinerary is going to be incredible. Just to, as I talk about, have that cup of coffee. I've thought about that cup of coffee overlooking the old course for a long time.
Okay.
That's I can't wait. And I'll share that cup of coffee with you as well. So the Lido is what I feel like is going to be the closest to that type of link-style golf.
Okay.
I can't believe they built that in sand in Wisconsin.
Sure.
And to go across the street to Sedge Valley, which is a par 68, super fun, you know, risk-reward, drivable par 4s, one par 5 on the property, 5 par 3s, just super, it's such a uniquely different 18-hole experience. I think I would start there, and my very close second would probably be Straits River up in Kohler.
Yeah, that Straits River is great. I wish, so again, when I thought about this, my initial thought was I wish the original championship was open the same time the Straits is. Typically, it's not.
Yeah.
Because if they do it early in the year, Straits isn't open yet. And they just have that original championship 18. Eventually, the Irish becomes open. But by the time that they actually open up the Straits, then they split up, you know, the Black Wolf courses to River and Meadow Valley. So otherwise, I mean, if I could somehow do that, that would be my dream. Again, I don't think it's ever going to happen to do, you know, Whistling Straits in the original championship 18 at Black Wolf. That's the dream. I also thought it would be fun to do the, now this would be a triple header, but do the Good Hope Road triple header.
Oh, okay.
You know, start at Brown Deer, make your way to university, and then make your way to our home in the Wisconsin Country Club. Because it's just, it's so incredible to me that those three courses exist that close to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you're starting on, you know, right there after you get off the highway, just on the other side of Green Bay on you know, Ridgeline or whatever, and then you're jumping down to 43rd, and then over at 63rd, you've got three really good golf courses all down Good Hope. Now, again, that's not answering the question of 36, but I think that would be pretty cool.
And then if you ride up 43 or River Road about 5 minutes, you're going to hit Milwaukee. So
yeah, I mean, again, if you wanted to make it 72 and you knew the right people,
yeah,
again, that's another dream that's probably going to remain a dream. I've tried to think of what I would want to pair with Aaron, because we've talked about Aaron Hills a lot here on the tee and how much we do love Aaron Hills. Again, you can play Aaron Hills, Golf Digest 10th ranked public course in the nation, charming overnight accommodations and a championship golf experience, host of the 2025 U.S. Women's Open Championship. You can always learn more, not just about that championship, but going out there and playing at AaronHills.com. And just how special. So Aaron Hills has always held a special place in my heart because it's been so close to where I grew up from.
Yeah.
You know, like right around the corner from where the golf course is, there is a movie theater in Hartford. That was the movie theater in high school we would always go to. Anytime we're going to see a movie, like, so to be that close to where I grew up, like, I want Aaron Hills to be involved in that. I don't know if, as much as I like Washington County, like, I haven't gone up and played Washington County this year. Like, I haven't gone out of my way to go play it. So is that good enough? As good as Washington County is it good enough to be paired with Aaron?
I'll tell you what, it is. Washington County is the most underrated golf course in the greater Milwaukee area, and it's not even close. I think it might be the best value in the state of Wisconsin. You can play Washington County right now for $50.
I feel like I'm going to say something, and I feel like a lot of the Wisconsin golf community might come after me if I say it.
Go on.
I think Washington County is better than Lasonia.
Oh, I'm with you.
Like, because Lasonia gets all of this love. And look, don't get me wrong, it's a good golf course. It's really good. But it gets a lot of love. And I feel all the love that it gets and the things that people try to make it to be is what Washington County actually is.
You're saying just link style?
And well, no, just because, not just the link style, but the actual value of it. Like, oh, man, LaSonia, hidden gem in Wisconsin. No, Washington County's the one that nobody actually talks about that's actually cheaper, and I think it's a better golf course.
Better kept, better routing, way cheaper, probably half the price now.
Yeah.
Of what LaSonia is. They're both great golf courses, but
yes.
I don't think you're... Okay. I'm with you.
All right. Again,
Washington County is a gem.
I feel like LaSonia gets all of this love, and again, I understand why, because it is a public, you know, not private golf course that is spectacular, right? And people who come play it for the first time, oh, man, I can't believe this is a public golf course just in the middle of random Wisconsin, right? And I don't know, the way that a lot of people feel about LaSonia, I feel that's the way I feel about Washington County.
The green designs are better at LaSonia. The green, like how well they're kept.
Yeah.
Like the greens themselves, it's night and day they're better at Washington County.
We got to go play Washington County now, don't we? I haven't played it all year.
Ah, I played in actually that was the one WSGA event I played in this year. It was at Washington County.
Oh, how'd you do?
Not well.
Okay, all right.
I would have brought it up on the show if I did well.
I think you would have as well.
But
so
yeah,
I think that's the way I lean. I think I lean towards Erin Hills, Washington County.
If we're talking value,
mm-hmm.
and we have a budget, like you splurge at Erin,
yep,
and then you can go play Washington County. I don't think there's a better 36.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. Couple of the holes really tough, challenging. Yeah, I think that's the way I'm leaning. And again, Washington County's not that far from where I grew up either. So that's the way I guess I would lean towards 36. But there's a lot of different combinations you could probably come up with. Again, if you're doing the private side of things, you could do, you know, Blue Mound and Milwaukee. Although you would probably say Milwaukee and Pine Hills.
Yeah, if I had
because
if
that's I, that's feasible.
If
that's
we're
realistic.
If we're involving private golf courses,
yeah.
My answer is very easy. It's Whistling Straits and Pine Hills.
Okay.
Those are my...
It's
that good. It really is. It's better than Black Wolf.
Wow.
It has more character than Black Wolf. A little more elevation. The greens there are... I mean...
I wish people, I mean, I guess you can, but the camera's a little far away. I wish you could see this twinkle in Steven's eye.
I haven't played it about like Pine 2 years. Hills. I need to make a phone
call. I've got a friend who's like, wants to join and is trying to convince his wife. I'm like, yes, you do that.
And that's actually probably a very good value deal, too, because they have a pretty limited membership and they don't charge too much. A lot of their members are out-of-town members who come in. Man, Pine Hills, Whistling Straits in one day would... Chef's kiss.
If you had to do it, if I limited you to Madison area, what would you do?
You know, I haven't golfed in Madison as much as you probably think, despite going to Wisconsin, because I just lived at U-Ridge.
Yeah.
So I feel like I owe it to U-Ridge to...
Yeah, I'm just thinking of different areas, you know, in Wisconsin. Because, again, like, Madison gets super underrated. Like, I would, like, a 36-hole... Wild Rock, U-Ridge.
That'd be a good one.
I think that would be fantastic.
But like I'd go 45 minutes north and go to Sand Valley instead of the Dells.
Okay, I was about to say, like, it's a little further than 45 minutes from Madison.
We could actually play 7 a.m. at U-Ridge and then drive to Sand Valley.
Okay.
If we're talking.
Yeah. That's another one I haven't played this year at all, is U-Ridge.
Yeah.
Need to get out there.
Too much good golf here, man.
Yeah, there's
so much. Enough time.
So many different decisions to make. So let us know on social media, what would your dream 36 be in the state of Wisconsin? Again, trying to make it realistic. Again, so many great options, especially when you have the resorts like Sand Valley, like Kohler, where...
Yeah. You can't go wrong just staying in that property.
Yeah, I mean, you have... In Kohler, you have 4 top 100 golf courses. At Sand Valley, you have 2,
yeah.
Probably soon to be 4 top 100 golf courses, because the way that not just you, the way a lot of people have talked about the Lido and Sedge Valley. I know Lido last year was, even though it's semi-private, I think one publication gave it best new public golf course of the year.
Yeah, Sedge Valley.
Sedge Valley is going to win that. So, I mean, those have the opportunity to potentially make their way onto a top 100 list as well. You guys might have to redo the. I mean,
yeah.
You might have to find a way to jam two more courses.
I will say, if you're adding a short course into the mix,
yeah,
because you might have enough time. You play this in, you know, late June, early July. I think my answer changes from Sand Valley back to Kohler. If you can do straights, river, and the baths.
Baths with no shoes?
Yeah, baths with hickory like we did last year. I think that creates my perfect day in Wisconsin.
Just walk in the baths with hickory sticks and a drink in your hand?
Yeah, I mean, first tee time off straights.
Yeah.
So you have the sunrise, you have nobody in front of you.
Yeah. Well, again, that's the great thing, because again, you think about, you know, great core. Oh, you want a sun is setting, but with the straights, with the lake right there, you want to be there for sunrise.
Yeah. Yep. You want the first tee time on straights. You want to get out on river. Well, that's tough. That's gonna be a long round on river, in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And then sunset on baths. That's tough to beat.
We may have to try to recreate that next year. We may have
Are
to
you
try
paying?
To recreate that. Yeah. I mean, well, I'm not going to pay. I mean,
yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Well, talk to some people. Keep your friends close. Keep your golf friends closer.
Those are the important ones to know. The Wisconsin Country Club is where Stephen and I call home, and we absolutely love it out there. Wisconsin Country Club, no assessments ever, no food and beverage minimums. With a beautiful golf course, that is challenging. Had a couple of friends out there over the weekend, and they absolutely loved it. A friend who had never played it before, had heard great things about it. Great golf course. But maybe you're also looking for more out of your country club. Pool, tennis, pickleball, they have it all. Themes, fun, Sunday fun day, great time for the family at the pool. Find out more about the Wisconsin Country Club and what it would take to join at thewisconsincountryclub.com. Stephen Watson, Gabe Neitzel, we are hanging out at the Bog. Before we get to our group of law offices, one call, that's all, which is going to revolve around the Solheim Cup, which is happening out east this week as they get back onto now the even year schedule, so they're opposite. We did spend some time out here at the Bog Golf Course.
Yeah.
So I want to give a little bit more love to our friends here at the Bog, and Andy and Mike, who had us out here, were great. What's your favorite hole out here at the Bog?
Woo. I like 9. I think it's a really tough par 5. The reward's a really good set. Excuse me.
He's getting choked up because he almost hit a really good second shot today, but wasn't quite.
Man. Excuse me there. Let me start that over. I would start with 9.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite holes out here because it's such a hard second or third shot.
Mm-hmm.
Tough green that runs away from the front of it. And there's a lot of blind shots out here, which make it really tough for you to score well, because you got to trust your clubs, you got to trust your numbers, and if you're hitting driver on every hole, you're going to lose some golf balls out here, because mm-hmm. there's just not a whole lot of room to miss. But yeah, 9's a good one. I'm trying to think what else. Which ones stand out to me? What about you? Let me think.
I like 7. I like 7 and 18. Two par fours, 18, but 7, you kind of have the view of the barn in the background, and it kind of goes around. It's the one spot where you can see the Bog.
Yeah.
That's actually the Bog golf course.
That's right. I commented on the tee box today how much I like 7.
Yeah, 7, and depending upon where the pin is, it's a long depth, deep green. It's not very wide, though. It's surrounded by bunkers, so even if you hit a good tee shot, chances are you're going to be hitting a tee shot that's below your feet for me, above your feet for you, the way everything kind of slants, you know, away to the left side of the fairway. So it becomes, okay, even though you've got a scoring club in your hand, if you hit a good drive, you know, you're going to have a low iron or a wedge in your hand. You know, hitting a good shot, second shot there is always rewarding, and then you're going to have a good putt. And then just 18, I like the way it finishes. You know, again, you pump a drive, you feel real good. And that green, there's a lot of subtleties to it in order to make a closing birdie or par.
Yeah, I mean, I like 6 as well. 6 is a
That's
tough
so
golf
tough.
Hole.
So tough.
You got the old barn that's kind of breaking down on the left, has a little character to it, but
have
it's a really tough tee shot. I hit the barn with you, the Mac Fund. Or is that Greg Matzik who hit it?
It was Matzik who hit it.
I definitely hit it.
Yeah.
I play this golf course a lot. sometimes I've gotten better bounces than others.
Yeah, sometimes it bounces in the fairway, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. 6-7 is a tough 1-2 out here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what. The value of this property is worth anybody in this area coming up to play. It's 25 minutes from downtown Milwaukee, and they said they benefit a lot of, you know, from people up in Kohler who are just looking for maybe a little bit more reasonably priced round if you're playing up in the Kohler area. It's a nice, well-maintained golf course that's a true challenge. And for the price, you can't really beat it out here.
Let's dive into the Solheim Cup, the women's version of the Ryder Cup. Solheim Cup taking place, again, in the United States. Last year it was in Europe. This year, again, going back, so they're opposite of the Ryder Cup because they don't want them in the same years, which I do appreciate because it's a non-Ryder Cup year, but that means it's a Solheim Cup year, so you get some good international competition. And last year they tied. Last year it was a 14-14 tie.
Yeah, well.
So Europe retained the cup, and it's a big one for Team USA. Nelly Korda, Lilia Vu, Lauren Coughlin, who had an unbelievable year this year, Allie Ewing, Allison Corpuz, Megan Kang, Andrea Lee, Rose Zhang, Allison Lee, Shira Schmelzel, Jennifer Kupcho, and Lexi Thompson, the 12 representing Team USA, begins on Friday. Same format as the Ryder Cup. Four ball, foursome, 12 single matches on Sunday.
We're going to talk about the way Europe celebrated their tie last time, because retaining the cup shouldn't be a pile on the 18th green.
Right? I mean, why not? I mean, it's retaining the cup.
You go and you win. You celebrate a win. You shake hands if you tie.
But you're retaining the cup.
No.
Retaining the cup's a win.
Sure.
Because the goal is at the end of the event to be walking away with the hardware, and one team got to walk away with the hardware. It was the European team.
Yeah, we need to change that.
The way that they came back too was
Well, it was heartbreaking for Americans.
Yes,
Nelly just crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be, you know, USA has not won this event since 2017. Incredible. If they don't win this year on their home soil, you know, they're playing in Virginia, Robert Trent Jones course out there, and I think we're going to have a comfortable American win, as Mike Gruberloff is one call that's all pick. I really think Team USA is going to comfortably win with how well Nelly has played, the fact that last Solheim Cup ended in Nelly's match. Rose Zhang, you know, think about the pressure she felt in Spain. That was her first true international experience. She didn't play well. You've got Lauren Coughlin, who's had an incredible last couple of months of
her LPGA. First two wins on the PGA Tour, or on the LPGA this year. Incredible story.
She's from Virginia.
She's just like an hour and a half away, I think, from that course.
It's all kind of just lining up for Team USA to get this done.
Top five golfers in total strokes gained this season on the LPGA Tour. Nelly Korda, Lauren Coughlin, Lilia Vu, Rose Zhang, Allie Ewing. The top five are all on Team USA. Charlie Hull is sixth on that list. So she's the top European player in terms of strokes gained this season. And the bottom of the roster it's not a very deep roster for Europe. It seems like there's a lot of depth to the USA roster, especially when you think about who was on this team last year, not on this team this year. So Emily Kirsten Pedersen is ranked 104 in the Rolex World Rankings.
Yeah.
And she is on this Solheim Cup team for Team Europe. There's certainly some really good players at the top, players who had great Solheim Cups last year, but that was last year. That was on home soil. I'm with you. I think Team USA, they're a big betting favorite. And I think Team USA runs away with this.
And game. I'll tell you what, maybe the storyline that is most important for this particular Solheim Cup is Lexi Thompson. You know, this is going to be her final big event. And she was incredible in Spain. I mean, she was one of the true bright spots. I think 3-1 in Spain.
Yeah.
And in her international career in the Solheim Cups, 9-7-7, seventh appearance, five top 20 finishes. in her last seven starts since she made her retirement announcement. So, yeah. Like,
she's actually been playing before the retirement announcement. Yeah. She wasn't playing that well.
The monkey's off her back. She's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, at all. So she ends up making the team. I just love the depth of this team.
Yeah.
And they're going to have decisions on who they're going to be sitting in certain formats, certain matches, where it feels like Team Europe is going to be relying so much on that top part of the roster that could make them a little more exhausted by the time we get to the singles on Sunday.
I can't wait to see an actual win in the event and Team USA celebrate.
Man, this is really hanging with you.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, we're coddling people too much. You celebrate a tie. Come on, who are you? Go out there and win.
All right.
You can keep the trophy, but you don't celebrate like you just won the Super Bowl because you tied.
But that's the champion's advantage. They only need 14 points. I look at it as they only need 14 points to win. Team USA needs 14 and a half. And it's the same thing when Team USA plays Team Europe next year in the Ryder Cup. Europe only needs 14 to win.
What was the last time the Ryder Cup tied? Do you know?
I don't. I know the President's Cup tied once, like, I want to say 2002, 2003-ish.
Like, why are we setting up events to have a tie potential?
Because that's what they did back in the day. I don't know. This event is, it's almost 100 years old. 1927 was the first
sometimes
year.
Sometimes change is needed.
Yeah, look. I'm not going to disagree. If you came up with a sudden death format for the Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup, sign me up yesterday.
Does the World Cup end in a tie?
No.
It ends in penalty kicks if necessary.
Well, no. That's
give me a chip off.
No. Oh, God. Can you imagine
a putt off?
A chip off like they do at member guests? That'd be so sick.
Oh, line the golf carts right around the green.
Somebody chipped in this year at the member guest I was at on the first hole. First hole playoff.
Hell yeah.
Place went nuts. It was awesome. But, I mean, you could do something like, okay, we're picking two players. You're going to play an alt shot. Alt shot, sudden death, right? Because you don't want to send one player out because it's a team thing, right? I think there's a way to do it. I doubt they do it because golf doesn't really like to change. Doesn't really like to change at the time.
They're entertainers, and sometimes they think that they're different. Just, you're entertainers.
Big thank you to everybody out here at the Bog for having us, Mike Hammes and Andy Runkel, who is one of the head golf professionals out here. We had such a great time hanging out at the Bog. We'll be back next week. It'll be on a Wednesday again. Wednesday next week with UW Volleyball on Tuesday, but we'll be back next Wednesday here on the tee.